Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 181, part 1, God Sees. Today is Friday, January 7th, 2011. Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. I am your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from sunny, snowy, and spirited North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. Pastor Paul's club is located in Disciples Ministries' historic Mikra Kodesh Synagogue at 1000 Oliver Avenue in North Minneapolis. If you need food and you live anywhere in the state of Minnesota, you are living in a household of two or more, or you are a senior 60 years and older or disabled with proof, call us at 612-521-4665 Monday through Friday between 1 and 3 p.m. to register your household for monthly groceries. You can also visit us online at pastorpaul.org, where you can make a tax-deductible donation to support Pastor Paul's club. Up at the top of the homepage, you're going to find interactive links to Pastor Paul's blog, Flickr, the podcast, Life Vantage, YouTube, and Twitter. At Pastor Paul's blog, you can leave a comment, you can ask a question, make a suggestion, or give a testimony. Better yet, you can call the comment line, 1-877-489-0922, and that local number is 612-208-0916. So call the comment line, leave a comment, or give us a testimony. At Pastor Paul's blog, you're going to find scripture links that are within Pastor Paul's messages. In the month of January, these are the following messages: God Sees, Fair Weather Faith or Storm Faith, Fair Weather or Storm Faith Part 2, Zealous with His Righteousness or Our Own. Be sure to join us for both parts, Part 1 on Friday, Part 2 on Sunday. Have a great month of January, Happy New Year, and God bless you.
Tonight's message is entitled simply, God Sees. Tonight we will minister from Genesis 16 and 13, Thou God Seeth Me. But I think before we start, let us listen to what David has to say in Psalm 22, 1 through 7. And notice the words, they will sound very, very familiar. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me, and from the words of my roaring? Does that sound like Jesus? My God, I cry out in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and I am not silent. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest thy praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in thee, they trusted, and thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee, and were delivered. They trusted in thee, and were not confounded. But I am a worm, and Jesus said that too. And no man a reproach of men, and despised of the people. And I thought, you know what, there's going to be a whole lot of preachers crying out this very same thing. And all they that see me laugh at me to scorn. They shoot out the lip, they shake the head, saying, he trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. And so verse 7 we're going to center on. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. And I started to look at that scene in the spirit. And I saw the rich, and I saw the poor, and I saw the Jews, and the Greeks, and the Romans. Some standing in groups and gazing. And I thought, but you know, that's only men seeing, God sees. They were all scorning. Some laying down at ease and staring. Others more moving around in sort of a restless gratification at the scene and the event. You know what I mean? They're really enjoying the scene. So many times, and you'll probably know this, when you're in trouble, there will be those that enjoy the scene. They enjoy the cross that you're bearing. I guess it's the depravity of man. And on the faces, I saw the look of satisfaction on each face. All talking at the same time. Now listen, preacher, and I want you listening on the radio to this tape in here. I want you to start to relate with what this message is really going to be all about. Because we are in a cross period right now. You are all going to get nailed, expected. If you give your life, I mean the whole of your life, for the cause of Christ and make no excuse for the leaving of your calling. People are going to rally around your cross of experience and point and say something maybe like this. I guess I'm not surprised. I mean, the 1980s prophets said so, you know. The 1980s and the 1970s Pharisees, the modern age Pharisees, warned us of judgment to come. And I saw them all talking all at once, and all of a sudden they became thirsty. And they had their water and they had their vinegar mix, and they drank and they went up and they teased Jesus and they scorned Jesus and they put it up to his mouth and they took it away again. And then they said, it says something in the Bible, they shot out the lip. Now that's a gesture of contempt. They were probably panting and grinning and shaking their heads and thrusting out their tongues and laughing. Oh, he trusted in the Lord that he would deliver him. Now let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. What good is your faith now? Let's see it work now. Preacher, people in the body, now is the time, having done all, to stand. Hallelujah. When that's going on, and you're on your particular cross, in your particular life, or in your body, in your ministry, now is the time to bear that cross, to get up on that cross. Now, I found myself saying some time back as I read through this scripture, we grow in the scripture, you know. And I thought, how strange. God delights in him, and yet he bruises him. And God is well pleased, and yet he slays him. And finally now, after several years of ministry myself, I finally come to the realization that God is no respecter of persons, and that God will always have his way for his own purposes. And though that he slay me, yet will I trust him. And as I was watching this scene, as I read the Bible and pondering and meditating upon it, do you know who was there? All 500 of those that had run away from Jesus Christ, all the dropouts were present. And I thought, strange how people can become suddenly concerned or suddenly present when all through, like Jesus' suffering ministry, they sat in the synagogues. Let's call this phenomenon that's going on now, a gathering of the vultures. The I told you so vultures. Say amen, somebody. And in your own particular lives, when you are on a cross situation, and in a very hard place, remember that all things are working together for good for them that love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus Christ. And as your eyes are fixed on Jesus Christ, He's going to have you to gaze at what He wants you to do. As you gaze on Jesus, you're going to get your orders. And as you gaze on Jesus, you aren't gazing on yourself, and you're out of yourself, and you're into Jesus. And by the way, as we look at God Himself here suffering, the terrible mockery, what then is a little mockery in our lives? Y'all, people learning, ever learning, and never coming to know Jesus. Because the Bible says if you don't know Jesus in the suffering, you don't know Him at all. And preacher, listen. If you're on a God-given cross in your ministry, and I know a lot of them out there that I'm getting the calls, drink the cup. Take up the cup and drink it. Bear the cross, allow all the forsaking, become like a worm. Let those that behold you on your personal cross laugh and scorn and shoot out the lip. Which then brings us to let men see whatever they're going to see, because they're going to see whatever they want to see. Don't you see? What they really want to see is what they're going to see. See? And in the middle of all their seeing, you have to know that God sees. Genesis 16 and 13, Thou God seeth me. Seems to me like we spend a lot of time in our Christian walk, and even before we're saved, worrying about how we look to people. Isn't that the crux of all of our suffering? Worrying how we look? We lose a little bit of wealth and we think, well, people think I'm a failure. We gain a little bit of money and we're very careful that we don't act like we're puffed up and that we're going to, you know, have all kinds of money and change. We worry about our clothes and we worry about our families. We worry about our positions. Oh, because we're worried about what people think. We worry about our faults, and we all have them. But not because of the fault, because someone will see those faults. Let me say something here in the middle of all this. Who cares? Are you hearing this? Plain English, who cares? Our good works. Oh, we're wondering how good our good works look. How do they look? How do you like this? Isn't this wonderful? And we're worried about our bad works. Well, don't look at that. And we're continually and constantly and always worrying about how we look. Well, how do you look to God? God is the one that sees you. God is the one that sees the inner being. God is the one that fashioned you. God is the one that made you. God is the one that's responsible for you once that you've been saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. And it seems like man is always and forever trying to cover up. And a lot of times our cover up is pointing at someone else. You see, you're standing here and miserable and naked and poor, and someone turns your way and says, look over there, look over there, look over there, huh? We're always trying to cover up our real emotions. But I can remember the time I wouldn't even cry in front of anybody. Now, if I feel like crying right now, I'll just bust down a ball. That's the way it is. See? I'm not worried about how it looks. I just feel like a good snotter. I feel like crying. Well, what do you mean a good snotter? That's when her runs out of your nose. You're crying and blubbering, okay? And we're always trying to cover up our motives, our real motives, or what we think are our real motives. We're always trying to cover up our real desires, shifting our eyes from side to side, and we're miserable. Trying to cover up, and you know, when you try to cover up your motives, and you try to cover up your desires, and you try to cover up your emotions, You become more emotional, you have more wrong motives, and you have more wrong desires because you put yourself under the law, and when you put yourself under the law, it makes it a great big thing. It's got your attention now. And whatever gets your attention gets you. Put your eyes on Christ. Well, I think the Bible says there are more eyes fixed on man than he would imagine. He sees not as he is seen, the Bible says. He thinks himself obscure and unobserved. But please to remember, the Bible says there is a great cloud of witnesses which watch. They have him and they have us in full scope, in full survey. They see every angel that's around you. They see every demon that's around you. They see every evil pulling force that's pulling you. They see every person that's been sent by the devil. They see every person that's been sent by the Lord. They see all of this. And our weapons are mighty to pulling down the strongholds of the devil. But you can't worry about how you look. There are extenuating circumstances. There are forces out there. There are good forces and there are evil forces. And in the end, there's going to be a battle between good and evil like you've never seen before. Say amen. And it's going to take people that have a deep desire to follow the Lord, no matter what. But so, like I said, we don't see as we are seen. Wherever he is, at every instant, there are beings watching us all of the time. What do you mean by that? I mean that even now, as I minister, there are beings here. There are spiritual beings for evil, and there are spiritual beings for good. Now, I'm not talking about spooks, and I'm not trying to upset you, but that's just the way it is. There is a cloud of witnesses. There are good spirits. There are bad spirits. That's why people a lot of times say, you know something? I'm getting bad vibes. Now, let's say that you're sensitive to the move of the Spirit. Oh, turn yourself into the Lord. And that's why the Bible says, ye can do nothing without me. You cannot fight the devil and spiritual forces by yourself. They far outsmart you. They know things. They've been fighting for eons of time. They know. Don't put yourself in a position of worrying about how you look. That's like trying to put on a happy face when you're dying. You ever try to do that? Look like you're sick. Look like you want to vomit. How many are hearing this? And we're always worrying about how we look and we make ourselves a nervous wreck. But there are spirits that gaze at us, it says in the Bible, intently upon us. Right here tonight, and all around this building, there are myriads of spirits, unseen. Spirits, the Bible said, good and evil watch. Wow. And upon us tonight, angels watch. Sometime back, this happened to me 3 times in my ministry. Different people at different points in the audience saw 2 angels on either side. Now, these people were not related in any way, shape, or form to one another. And so it just, to me, heightened the desire. I mean, not that I had to have proof, but it didn't do me no harm either. To know that I had 2 big angels, one on either side of me. And you know some? Each one of you in here tonight has angels in charge of you. But there is a war going on. There's a battlefield. There's a war going on in our minds. And just leave it to the Lord. Don't leave it to yourself. But these perfect spirits, the Bible says, regard our order. They hear our songs. They observe our prayers. They watch you down there at the hobo run. They watch what you say down there. They know exactly what's going on. Jesus knows exactly what's going on in your heart down there. That's why it's so good to be honest. And you get down there and maybe someone irritates you. Well, you recognize that you're irritated. That's a form of recognizing. That's a form of examining yourself. And as you do that, and as you examine yourself, you just let it go, and you go on with the Lord. See, a lot of people examine themselves too closely. Know what I mean? And they get kind of weird. And so, millions of spiritual creatures walk this earth while we are awake and while we are asleep. In the sunlight, it says, and in the shadows, spirits watch. The prince, it says in the Bible, of the power of the air and his hordes of evil spirits. But praise God, every moment, good spirits are there also. Battling over, the Bible says, God's elect. Keep us in all our ways. Praise the Lord. There is a battle going on, and it's heightening. There is a heightening of the battle, isn't there? And they watch over our feet, the Bible says, lest that we at any time would dash them against a stone. Millions of invisible, beautiful spirits are watching our every... The elect are watching us. The falling angels are watching us. And also, those ones that have passed on are watching. Say amen, somebody. You're feeling once in a while like, let's say you wake up in the morning and you're all depressed. Why? There are forces, okay? And that's why you have to put your eyes, fix your attention on the Lord. Now, in this particular ministry that God has given me, we are in a situation where there is a lot of demon activity. Say amen, somebody. This north side has a lot of demon activity in it. But do you know something? I believe there are more good spirits down here to date than there are evil spirits. And I know, because of what's going on, there's a winning. And you know how you win in the race? You keep running. You keep running on your particular track, even though others will drop out and go off to Timbuktu or go off to a park or go off someplace and just sit. You keep on running the race because you are being watched. Well, what if in the race something real important would come up and you kind of doubted that you should keep running the race? No, that says in the Bible, run the race to win. You don't stop running the race for anybody or anything. Say amen, somebody. Now, we're talking about a dedication that goes beyond. We're talking about a higher calling than an earthly calling. I mean, it's forsaking everything. Well, the Bible says forsake all. What does that mean? Well, that means forsake this and this and this, but not that and not this and not that. No, it says forsake all things. And if you can't do this, you cannot be my disciple, Jesus says. Well, maybe God won't have you to forsake this or forsake that, but maybe you will. How many are hearing this? Don't get your attention on yourself. But anyway, are we taught by Paul that a whole noble army of martyrs are watching and are witnessing our race from heaven? Because he says, seeing them that we have encompassed about us with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight of sin which doth so easily beset us. Did you ever try to run a race while you're looking at yourself? Huh? How you look? Huh? You can't run a race like that. Can you run a race looking at yourself? Or run a race looking in the mirror? Huh? Can you run a race checking? Now that's the weights, your faults. Can you run a race looking at all your faults? Well, there's this wrong with you. You got these old, pronated ankles and so on like that. I mean, how can you run? You got these old ankles that are turned in and you're bow-legged and pronated ankles and all this kind of sin hanging on you. I mean, you got a lot of faults. How can you ever run the race? I mean, it takes a lot of guts to put on a pair of shorts, let alone run the race. They're all laughing at you. What do you care what people think? I mean, they're not running. They got perfect legs, and they're not running. And they're showing on, they're busy looking at themselves. Oh, these are a nice pair of running legs. And look at these strong tootsers. But they're not running. And so, even though you have faults, don't start looking at your faults, but get to running. Don't look at yourself. Don't look at all your faults, or you'll never run the race. You can't run and look at yourself. And you can't run the race and look at somebody else. You can't run the race and look at the crowd out there, and they're all yelling and screaming. You know what I mean? Huh? Sort of a phony yelling, "Come on, Steve!" Do you ever hear somebody cheering you and they're not really cheering you? They're mocking you? Huh? You know, they can mess you up so bad you'll do everything wrong. Because you get your eyes on them. You're wondering how you look to the audience out there and to all those that have dropped out and they're sightseers, and you try to overdo it. And so you get your eyes fixed on them folks out there. And you're watching them, and you're running into the side of the track, and you're running over and bumping and falling down all over the place because you haven't got your eyes on the race. See, when you run the race, you run the race. My God, run the race. If you're on the north side, run the race on the north side. That's what you're running. You're not running it out in the suburbs. Why are you running along with a pair of binoculars wondering what people are thinking of you? They don't think nothing of you. They hate your dang guts. Got it? Don't worry about them. They want to see you fall down and get cinders up your nose. Got it? Don't worry about them. Run the race. Hallelujah. Let them watch. At least you're running the race. At least you're on the course. At least you keep on going. My God, you keep on going. And you keep on going. And you keep on going. You wear them out. And so seeing them that we have compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight of sin which doth so easily beset us. And yes, we all, like I said before in some message sometime, we are debtors, there are no creditors in Christ. We all owe God. You owe God. You're bought with a price. Now, God owes you. Now, you go to a job. And you go in there and you tell your boss, and you're depressed, you're down, you're blue, and blah, blah, blah. And he says, punch in. When you punch in, you run the race. And he comes over, and you're sitting like this. He says, hey, I mean, I sympathize with you, but you've been sitting here long enough. Now, if you don't produce, the whole company's going to go under. Now, how would it be if I allow you to do this, then everybody's sitting there like this? Huh? No, I want you to get your attention off yourself, and I want you to get behind that desk, and I want to see them fingers fair fly on that typewriter. You can sing Flight of the Bumblebee if you would, but start to manipulate. And you know, when you start to do that, you get your mind off yourself, and you get your mind on what this boss has told you to do. And it's the same way with the Lord. Let's use a little common sense here. I mean, we'll start to take Jesus Christ a little bit seriously. You are bought with a price. You don't even own yourself. Nobody else owns you, but God owns you, and He's given you a job to do, and you better do that job. And so now you got to get your mind, get busy. I almost wish sometimes God could yell down, "Get busy!" But He won't do that. Say amen. You need Shakespeare. I think a lot of times in ministry we should start giving people Shakespeare and give them Shakespeare. They do that in the world. They give them shock treatments. Huh? Don't they? Don't they? Huh? Well, I think the Word of God should have the same effect on people. And they get their muscles going and they say, oh, boy, I'm so mad at the devil. I'm going to just go to work for God. And I'm going to get my eyes off of being broke. And I'm going to get my eyes off of how much I used to have. And I'm going to get my eyes off of how I got bags under my eyes now and how I'm getting older and older. You're going to get old. You're going to die. Say amen, somebody. And we always got our eyes on ourselves. Miserable. You want to get miserable? Get your eyes on yourself. That is the best way. Now, listen. if I want to be miserable in the just of my ministry and the 14 years and the, oh God, the whole of my life seems like it's been one miserable trip, all right? But now, since I've been saved, it seems like it's been more miserable. How can that be? Well, it seems that way. But actually, it's the best time, the best 14 years of my life, because now I got something to suffer for Christ. Say amen, somebody, and I'll tell you, it brings me a great amount of joy and a whole lot of peace that I don't understand, because now I'm not into myself, I'm into the Lord. And when you're really into the Lord, you don't care what people have to say. You don't care what the sightseers have to say. And you just go on, and you double up. You know what I do? I run twice as fast. You know, what happens when you prod cattle? They get going, don't they? Oop, they hump, and then they slow down. They're eating grass. Ooh, they prod them. Yeah, they hump up. Their whole back goes, ooh. And they go a little ways, and they'll eat some grass. Ooh, huh? Well, I think we need to have prodding bars. Huh? And prod each other. People start slowing down, start to get in the frumpty diddly doozers, and then you, brrr, huh? Yeah. Yeah, I really believe it. I think this is the best way to get our minds off ourselves. Whew. To recognize what Paul says here. Whew. You know, there's people watching out there to see if you're taking off where they left off. Mothers and dads that have passed on. What are you doing? Are you carrying on? Moses and Elijah? Huh? All these people, David, they're all watching. The Samsons? Whew. And they're all watching out there to see what you're going to do. Well, do you like to be seen of men, don't you? How would you like to be seen of God? Just think about it now if you really believe that. Really, truly, honestly believe. I mean, really believe it. Really. How can I say this so that it gets across? Really, times 1,000,000,000 times, really believe it. Really. Do you really believe it? How many really believe it? Drop, come on. But, do you really believe that you're watched? How many really believe it? Well, then you are going to get busy. You are being watched, not by man. Who cares? They're cross-eyed anyway. They don't see things as they really are. You don't really see yourself as you really are. Did you know that? People see you better than what you see yourself, but they don't see you better than what God sees you. Right? What's it to worry about? How many picked up on that? Do you really believe that God sees you? Well, do you want God to see you with your track shoes unlaced? And sitting there with your shorts bagging down in the back? Huh? And a t-shirt on backwards? Huh? Slopping around in these old shoes like, you know, moving along, huh? Now, this is a picture of yourself. Do you really believe that God sees you? I do. I'm glad He sees me. I really believe that. That's what keeps me going. God sees me. The Bible says it's nothing to me that I'm judged of man when God judges. Well, here you are. Now you're running the race. And there's this clock. Hey, Moses, Elijah, Samson. I mean, tremendous saints of God. All up there. God Himself peeking over. Watching. Doesn't that make you want to run the race? Doesn't that make you, when you have to get on a cross situation in your life, doesn't that make you want to drink the cup right down to the bottom of the dregs? Drink it down? Say, hey, whatever your will is, God, let it be. Because I know you're watching over me. Does that excite you? You listening on the radio, I don't think you're excited. I think this is like a fairy tale to you. This is like a fairy tale to a lot of people. I'm telling you, we are being watched. Pull up your trunks. Flex your legs. Bend them. Get them ready for the race. You know what I mean? Stretch them out there, huh? Start to run. Long strides. Not sort of skip and frumpty-doody-doo and then look out there and see who's watching you. Oh, well, you like my new trunks? Do you like the way I'm running? Oh, Golly, I get self-conscious when people watch. Hey, if I got self-conscious that people watching me, I would crawl into a hole. It seems like everybody in the whole of Minneapolis is watching to see what I'm going to be doing next. Say amen, symbol. I don't know what I'm going to be doing. I just take orders from God, see, and I keep running the race. Don't get self-conscious. Preachers, don't get self-conscious. Be God-conscious. You want to go crazy? Then be self-conscious. Especially in the end. Because you're going to have people watching you. Just as I suspected. I knew it all along. Do you ever see somebody talking and they're worried you thought they were talking about you? So what? So what? Are you hearing this? And you know, you can get so psycho on this thing. I said it before, I'll say it again. You can go like to a football game and they get in a huddle and you're way up in the back and say, come on, honey, let's get out of here. What's wrong? Well, they're talking about me down there. Yeah? What do you mean? They're talking about the next play. Sure they are. Come on, let's get out of here. I know what's going on. Nobody can fool me. Huh? That's an exaggeration, but it's actually how things bother us so much, how we look. You think I'm talking right to you? I probably am. I don't know. I know I'm talking to myself. How many are in Ezra? Set them down. And so first, let's notice the general doctrine that God observes all men. Secondly, let's notice that the particular doctrine, thou God seeth me. And thirdly, let's draw some fruit from this short sentence, thou God seeth me. Oh, I like that. I like to know when everybody else is seeing me that God is seeing me. Don't you? Huh? So number one, the general doctrine that God sees us. Now this is easily proved, I believe. Because you know why? God made it all, and it says it pleased him. Well, if it pleased him, he saw it all. How many hear in his message? The Greeks called him Theos, which means all-seeing God. Now, you know, even when they make idols, they put eyes in them. Why do they put in these little statues eyes? Because even they believe in a God, their God can see. I want you to know tonight, if you learn anything out of this message, that God sees you. Doesn't that excite you? And when God sees you, he sees you as a loving God. If you don't believe that, then you can't take advantage of it. See, the holier walk here is believing, and believing that God sees you. Isn't that when you get freaked out? When you think people are seeing you, and then the next thing you know, you sort of get psycho, right? Say amen. And then you start looking at yourself. What's wrong with me? What are you looking at? No, get this tonight. God sees you. But God sees you in a divine way. He sees you as a what? A finished work. Now that's exciting. I'm sure glad he sees me as a finished work. I would get self-conscious if I didn't believe that. How many are hearing this? Woo-hoo. Are you hearing it? God is everywhere. Well, where is God? Well, Marty, he's sitting right next to you. And he's sitting right next to you. And he's sitting right next to Sue. And he is right in that sound booth. And he is out in the suburbs. And he is over here. And he is up there. And he is down there. And he is over here, and he is over there, and he's all around. He's over, above, betwixt, between, benign. All over. God is omnipresent. Are you hearing this? He's in the air, he's in the sea, he's in the land, he's in the universe. I mean, space and God are equal. He fills it all. And then, of course, God is close to you too, isn't he? Not only by you, Marty, but in you. You can't get away from God. He's within your heart. He's in your lung beat. He's in the blood that gushes through your veins. He's in that pulse. It's like a muffled drum. My march to death, God is there. Within this mouth, within this tongue, in these eyes, in all of you listening on the tape or radio, all of you in here tonight, He is within you, He is around you, He is beside you, He is behind you, He is before you. Isn't that wonderful to know? Doesn't that give you a comforting feeling? Do you ever go to bed at night and you only had half a blanket on and you're sleeping with somebody that pulls half the blanket, you only got half a blanket? Isn't it nice when you get the whole blanket and you got the blanket all around you? Huh? When it's all around you? Are you hearing? God is all around you. Isn't that a feeling of security? Don't little babies, they carry their little blue, dirty little blue blankets. What do they carry them for? Got their thumb in their mouth and their blue blanket. They wouldn't give it up for nothing. What is that? It's a security blanket. And they can be, I seen one kid, I think he was like 10 years old. And you know what he had? He had a little piece of blanket. He didn't have the whole blanket, but he had a piece of blanket. Mother cut it down. Had the little silk part with a couple little threads hanging out. The threads gave him away. I says, what do you got in your hand? What is that? Is that a piece of blanket? And he had his thumb there. And don't we go in our Christian walk sometime like that, carrying on a little piece? Oh, hey, carry the whole thing. Wrap it around you. And people say, I'll say, I need security. You're covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. You are covered. And you tell the devil that, I am covered by the blood of the Lamb. He can't come inside that circle. Because it's going to happen in the end. You're going to come up against spiritual forces like you never came up against them before. And you got to know where you're at in Jesus Christ. Safe and secure. Save, 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 save. Always saved. But now, just so that any of you should suppose that God may be in a place. Sometimes people think, God is up north. Don't they? They say, He is in the north. Well, now they think, well, He's in the north. Well, how about the south and the west and the east? And how about, you know? And they start to think that He's slumbering up north someplace. Oh, He's up north. He's probably sleeping. He's probably tired of hearing all these complaints. So God is up there and He's slumbering. Someplace up north. God never slumbers, never sleeps. I'm talking about God is an active God. There's activity in every blade of grass. God is in that. In every flower, in every daisy, and I suppose that daisy says when it's picked, God is in me, circulating my sap, opening my little flower. Every bit of vegetation has got God in it. Every cloud, every wind that comes by, all the rain, all the sun, God is active. He's not slumbering. Every sea has God in it. Every desert has God in it. Every vulture, every duck, every goose, every salmon run, every seal, every leaf, every insect. God, I'm saying, preserves and sustains. What do you think is keeping you alive tonight? God. Who do you suppose is keeping your heart beating? God. Oh, if you could grab this message tonight. God is all around. Over, above, betwixt, between, beneath. He's in the desert. He's in the duck, He's in the chicken, He's all over! Hallelujah! God preserves and God sustains. And if you won't praise Him, it says the rocks will cry out. But you're such a hard case that God even has to have a rock cry out in your defense.